Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that the conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, the 27th of April, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Arne Frank, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, very welcome to AAK's quarterly interim report conf call. I'm sitting here with our CFO in an April weather kind of influenced Malmö. But inside our meeting room, the sun is shining. The program we are proposing follows our standard format. I will give a brief introduction. Then Fredrik will give you some more details. I will be back to some more specific business information. And then there is a Q&A session by the end, where, as always, I take easy and friendly questions, and Fredrik takes more difficult, detail-oriented questions. But we are ready for Q&A, and I believe there will be ample time for such. Moving on then to page number 3, we are happy to announce what we believe a strong quarter. Volumes up 5%, volumes up organically, like for like, flat, however with some good mix changes inside that, and we will come back to those details. Raw material prices have been under pressure, so sales is only up 3%. Now raw material prices are coming back, so this will change going forward, but in the quarter this was the picture here. EBIT up. Ladies and gentlemen, happy, proud, but not satisfied yet, and that will take some time. But anyhow, up 19% despite having absorbed minus 10 million SEK negative FX. So 381, and we want also to attract your attention to the EBIT per kilo. For only the second time, we are north of 0.8, up to 0.82, and to do that in the first quarter is rather unique so far. Earnings per share up 9%, why a little bit less, Fredrik will explain. It has to do with interest rate in high interest rate countries and so forth, and net debt also a good evolution. So that's for the numbers, and Fredrik will come back to the details. Page 4, we have put in some new information here, and ladies and gentlemen, I will now probably encouraged by a good quarter, be a little bit out of bounds here. It is not selective information because this conf call is being recorded, and everybody had a chance to call in here. I please ask you to sharpen your pencils because I will say this only once, and I will be inappropriate. I think I can do that with my age. I think it's a good rule that management do not have too much opinion on the stock market. We should focus the business, the customers, the value chain, the product development and so forth, and the rest other people will take care of. But if you have sharpened your pencils now, and please do so, because I will not take questions on what I now will say. But please have a look here. We have FI on the upper left. We have CCF on the upper right. FI is 60% of our EBIT, CCF is 30% of our EBIT, and on the bottom you have all of AAK. And you can see these trends. If we start with all of AAK, we are hovering around, including FX effects, 10, 11, 12% EBIT growth year-over-year compared to the same quarter previous year. You have here from Q1 2013. I do believe I can say, if my recollection is okay, and when we speak about numbers, normally it is, the diagram would look quite similar for all of AAK if we go back to 2010, 11, 12, and most likely more or less also 2008, 2009, even if that is before my time. However, between FI and CCF, there could be swing factors. And I think this is a picture you need to keep in mind, even if there could be swings between FI and CCF. And allow me a small comment. If you look upon FI, two small comments, inappropriate, but nevertheless. Q4 2015, FI, a very strong quarter that we believe was not enough attended. And then Q4 2015, CCF, after having hovered around average roughly 20%, and with a few quarters like sniffing on 40%, I remember one journalist, when I said 40% cannot happen next quarter, I got the question, why not? I mean, you tear your hair confronted with that kind of questions. Nevertheless, Q4, 5% on CCF, which in my opinion is in no way a disaster, but there was very strong reactions to this. So again, ladies and gentlemen, please have this kind of picture in front of you, and we could provide with numbers back to 2010 or maybe even longer, and then one can make one's conclusions. But again, a good quarter in both FI and in CCF. So sorry if I was a little bit out of bounds here, but not too much, I hope. With that, I pass the microphone to Fredrik for some more intelligent reflections and details.
Thank you, Arne. To summarize the quarter, I will say the trend with double-digit EBIT improvement year-on-year continued during the first quarter. And as Arne said, this was an all-time high operating profit for first quarter. We improved the operating profit with 19% to 381 million. Operating profit per kilo, as Arne said, up to above 0.8, and that was our second highest EBIT per kilo ever. Looking at the business areas, food ingredients reached 229, an improvement by 17%. Looking at the volume development in food ingredients, specialty and semi-specialty products in FI showed a stable development in the quarter, but with a very mixed picture between the segments. Dairy continued a strong trend since last year. Despite a very low milk fat price, we saw double-digit growth for dairy fat alternatives. Bakery had a challenging quarter in food ingredients. Our infant nutrition business developed very nicely in the quarter with double-digit growth for both Infat and Akonino. Food service reported organic growth as well in the quarter. And then commodity products showed negative volumes in the quarter. But then we need to have in mind that we had an exceptional growth in 2015. Chocolate and confectionery fats improved the result to 159 million, an improvement of 17%. And here we also saw a good mix evolution in the quarter. High-end products reported double-digit volume growth in the quarter, while low-end product was stable in the quarter. And we also saw increased volumes in both Russia and Ukraine after 2 years of deteriorating market condition in both Russia and Ukraine. And then finally, technical products and feed improved by 26% and reached 29 million in the quarter. And that was mainly due to very, very strong development for our fatty acid business. If we then turn to page 6 and look at the trends, you can see the nice volume trend continued in the quarter. And also if we look at the specialty and semi-specialty volume, they were up 2% in the quarter. As Anna mentioned, our best first quarter ever and up 19% versus last year. And then on operating profit per kilo, you can see that this was the second best quarter ever. And you all recall that normally our Q3 and Q4 are our strongest quarters. If we then turn to page 7 and look at the cash flow, we had a strong development of the EBITDA, plus 67 million versus last year. Then we have paid more interest rates, and that was also what Arne mentioned when we look at earnings per share. Because we have today more loans in high interest rate countries, in countries like Brazil, China, and India. So our financial costs will increase versus last year. Paid tax, minus 83 versus minus 33 in Q1 15, so it's up 40 million. That's more a timing issue because they were unusually low in the first quarter 2015. The underlying tax rate is unchanged. Change in working capital, minus 380 million. Here I will be a little bit technical, but I think it's I need to explain it in this way. Half of the negative cash flow from working capital is related to FX. And that's due to when you calculate cash flow according to IFRS, you're using average rates. And the balance sheet, you always consolidate to closing and or spot rate. So half of that increase working capital is due to FX. The remaining part is related to the increased raw material prices. You will see that in a short while, and that we are tying up more working capital related to the two greenfield projects. Cash flow from investments, a little bit higher than last year, but that's entirely due to the two ongoing greenfield projects. Looking at the working capital days on page 8, you see stable development since the fourth quarter, with unchanged dates. If we then look at page 9, I think this is an important reminder for the rest of the year. You can see that there's been a substantial increase of the palm price during the first quarter. If you look at the palm oil price development since the low point in September 2015, the palm oil price is up 40%, and it's up 25% since year-end. And this will have an increased impact on our cash flow for the coming quarters. Because as you all recall, we have a time lag that impacts our cash flow with a 6 to 9 months delay. So this will impact our cash flow both in Q2 and Q3. If we then look at page 10 on return on capital employed, I think this is quite impressive that we are now back on 16% in the quarter, particularly if you take into consideration we have two ongoing greenfield projects, we see increased working capital, and we still manage to improve our return on capital employed. By that, I will now hand over the microphone to you, Arne.
Thank you, Fredrik. Page 11, please. To give a feeling how the business is doing around the globe. And
we are always prudently optimistic, but we're very cautious to not get further carried away than that. When I see this picture, 11, it's one of those moments where one think if one should maybe say something not too strong, but marginally stronger than prudently optimistic, but then some of you will increase your estimates in a too big way, so please don't do that. Our business is strong in many parts of the world. In the Nordics, our market shares are high, and the underlying growth in our sectors for our customers is not that strong. However, our TPF business, which here is an important part, has been doing nicely, as you saw in Fredrik's numbers. Western Europe, more important, FI flat, CCF strong. UK, we take out the Western Europe as it's such a material business for us, and here we are holding our positions. Even if there are changes within FI, there are changes between the different subsectors or sub-segments, but all in all, flat. US have been very strong in the quarter across the border in all businesses. Central Eastern Europe has been in the aftermath of the severe crisis in Russia and Ukraine. Many Central European countries have been depending on export into Russia, and that has suffered. But we are happy to see our business here is flat, and at some point of time, this normally for AAK important market, we are optimistic will turn into green. And here a little bit sensational, CIS, which in the AAK world is mainly Russia, Ukraine. We see here for the first time since I barely recall when, a green arrow on CCF, which is historically our main business here, coming back from very low levels. So if we look upon AAK in an historical perspective, over the last two, 3 years, we have in our net numbers absorbed a material number of decline in Russia and Ukraine, and we see now that maybe we are turning a corner here a little bit. Asia, from relatively low levels, even if AAK Kamani is material, good growth across the border. It is China, even if the factory is not up and running yet. It is Southeast Asia. It is Turkey and parts of Middle East, despite all the horrible things going on there. And it is India. And India has been doing a little bit better than we dared to hope. And then also, last column, also positive surprise, Latin America, which is in the AAK world, Mexico to a big extent, Brazil to a big extent. And here we have very good market shares on CCF in all of South America. And despite everything we can read about in the newspapers about Brazil, our CCF and our high-end CCF business is developing very nicely. This, I can admit, we struggle to explain very well. To the best of our knowledge, we do not know any customer who has started to use CBE in any new product of material importance. So the hypothesis is that in a crisis, consumers are down trading, and that could have a favorable effect on the products that also have a more appealing price point. But that's just a very private hypothesis. So a good picture on picture 11. Page 12, FI, the organic volume growth, next page 13 is better, so we come to that in a moment. Operating profit plus 17%. We have not, as you saw on the page four, we have not been at that level very frequently at all. Last time was Q1 2014, where we had an astronomic and never repeated sales of INFAT through Advanced Lipids, our joint venture, also commented here on page 12. So this is really strong performance. But here is a very different mix. Bakery struggled. Dairy was very strong despite very low milk fat prices. Infant nutrition, both INFAT, Advanced Lipids, and Akonino did really good. Food service was okay, and commodity products that has been growing nicely a number of quarters were now negative. And 5 million SEK negative FX absorbed. So a good EBIT per kilo, particularly for being in a first quarter. And if we look upon page 13, so you can see FI commodity minus 9. And to give you a little bit more details that we normally only do in the capital market, at the capital market day. So but to give you a feeling, bakery minus 7, dairy fat alternatives and INFAT double digits, and food positive, and food service low single digits positive. So a very mixed bag, but a healthy effect on the EBIT per kilo. Page 14 then, to put things in a perspective, you can see that as an operating profit, we must look upon this quarter as very strong. And you can also see that most years, the drop between Q4 and Q1 is bigger than what we have seen here. And again, on the lower graph, we can follow the EBIT per kilo. And also here, we see that this is a very competitive EBIT per kilo for being a Q1. So I think that's the most important. So that's my favorite business area, and I'm personally very happy to see that dairy fat alternatives, despite the very low milk fat prices, continue to do very nice. I'm very convinced that will continue for many, many years. Then we come to Fredrik's favorite business area, and he told me this morning that CCF had both profit growth and volume growth. And that's a correct observation, but a flat operating profit per kilo, on the other hand. And the main drivers here, as mentioned, Russia, Ukraine, as commented on page 15. Also good performance on the high-end products and flat on the low-end products. You remember we have now for plus 2 years talked about the strong competitive pressure on the low-end semi-specialty products here. This quarter, we succeeded in holding the fort and defending our market shares in that space. And again, 5 million SEK absorbed FX and a flat EBIT per kilo. Slightly improved at fixed FX. And again, our approach here with customer co-development, just as on most of the FI products, by the way,
is probably a key success factor. Page 16, you can see as an operating profit, Q1 sticks out strongly in any historical bench, and also in terms of EBIT per kilo, but to a lesser extent. We should also, for those of you who have a tendency to be a little bit too euphoric when we do well, we should maybe say here that Easter, normally Easter in Q1 instead of Q2 should be negative for any industrial activity. I believe that's true for AAK also if we look upon FI and TPF. When we look upon CCF, probably an early Easter is rather boosting the numbers more than the opposite, as the Easter production must be timed accordingly. Good CCF numbers. CCF will most likely never disappoint us, but please do not put into your models that this will be repeated as good. Page 17. You now recall I always argue, we always argue that there is a cocoa butter price that is the optimum for us. When it goes too high, our customers who typically on their chocolate business would have EBIT numbers between maybe 5%-15% EBIT, 10 is very frequent, I know that. When cocoa butter goes up too high, they must compensate. Otherwise, a big part of their EBIT is hit, and if they compensate too much, there can be, in many markets, negative price elasticity. We always say $5,000-$6,000 per metric ton is a very good price level that is manageable for our customers and very good for AAK. We are still north of that price, and we know we can do good even at lower prices. Back in 2012, 2013, however, we sold 80% of our CBE more expensive than cocoa butter, to put into a perspective. Cocoa butter is still expensive. That's the comment on page 17. Page 18, our smallest business area that we normally don't talk about that much, so maybe we shouldn't do that today either. It looks like big dramatic improvements, but from low levels. On the graph, you can see that in an historical perspective, it's a good performance. Moving on to page 19, our action program. I believe we can say our action program is working. The strategy is working. The programs and the action plans are biting, and we see good results on all fronts. By the second half of this year, management will start to prepare with a group of 70-80 people across the company. What is our company program for 2017-2019? We will be ready to discuss that with you early next year. We are at the last final rounds of the action program, but we're happy to see that the program is working and biting. Approaching the concluding slide. A strong quarter driven by a strong infant nutrition business, both infant, our joint venture, Advanced Lipids, and the AAK Akonino products. A strong quarter on dairy fat alternatives. A strong quarter on the high-end products in CCF. A strong quarter in the U.S., and U.S. is a relatively big part of AAK. A strong quarter in India and AAK Kamani. We should also probably say that we've been driving productivity also quite a lot, and probably we see here in the numbers full effect of some relocalizations of products and production. As you all know, to move industrial production from one factory to another is never easy. In this kind of production, I would tend to say it could even be a little bit more complicated. And our transfers have been successful, but maybe some of them took slightly longer time than we wanted. So in these good numbers, I personally see a slice of full effect of some production relocalization and productivity works. So, and we should also add, when you look upon these numbers, this is a quarter where nothing went wrong. You know, I always talk about that the company is big enough to always include some positive surprises, but also always include some negative surprises, and with a slightly higher likelihood for negative surprises than positives. But this quarter, most entities and most businesses performed nicely. But having said that, based on our customer value propositions for health, no trans, low SAT, and reduced costs, and our co-development and solutions approach, we continue to remain prudently optimistic about the future. And from one person who knows us very well, I got the question if we, after this quarter, should talk about something marginally stronger than remaining prudently optimistic about the future. But we maintain that statement for two reasons. To hold back some euphoric reactions, but also we have negative effects in the quarter, and that negative effects increased by the second half of the quarter. So the negative effects effect for the full year is a little bit difficult to predict for all of us, I suppose. But my favorite business area, will continue to develop underlying positively, and CCF, Fredrik's favorite business area, will also continue to develop nicely. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that was the concluding remarks. Small pitch here for our annual general meeting, May 11. We are approaching last days for sign on for that, but for you, we will of course keep a seat or two open. So please sign on for our annual general meeting May 11 here in Malmö. We promise you it will be an exciting event. So with that, I think we can open up for Q&A if you so wish. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Casper Blom. Please ask your question.
Thanks a lot. And first of all, congrats with a strong set of results, and good to hear that you are still prudent on it. First, I have two questions regarding the chocolate and confectionery fats division. You say that you saw a strong growth in high-end products, while low-end products was more or less flat. And we see 17% increase in volumes. However, operating profit per kilo is flat. How can it match that you have growth in the high-end product and still a flat operating profit per kilo? That's my first question. Thanks.
I think we have a very scattered picture here across the border, that we have a nice evolution on the high-end products.
We have a nice evolution on the middle of the range products. We have remained our position and market shares on the low-end side. And it's a very wide spectra. That's my overall answer to that. I don't know if Fredrik wants to bail me out, because I do understand the question, if you can give more detail without disclosing too much.
No, I think I can just go back one quarter and look upon what we said after Q4. And that is that we have increased the staff in the go-to-market organization in our greenfields. And so the cost base has increased, Casper, in both South America and in Asia.
Okay, that's a fair answer. Another question on CCF. Out of the 11% organic volume increase, can you give us a hint on how much of that is driven by CIS?
Fredrik, you want to jump in on that one?
I can jump in. There is a couple of percentage that of the 11% that is coming from CIS.
Okay, very clear. Then just my last question on a matter we rarely talk about, last division, technical products and feed. You have now had two quarters with an EBIT per kilo above 0.4 Swedish kroner. Is this sort of a new level that we have to get used to, or would you still see this as sort of an unusually high level of EBIT per kilo in that division? Thank you.
Difficult to say, but if we answer yes or no on that one, it doesn't have any material effect on the total numbers. The team is doing a good job here, and they have some new applications that we are working upon, and the future will tell what is the new normal for TPF.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Casper.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of James Target. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. One question for me just on the EBIT per kilo in food ingredients. Obviously, a strong performance due to the mix that you were talking about. I just wondered, in terms of where are you now in terms of start-up costs for new capacity, how much of that is reflected in EBIT per kilo currently, and how much dilution as we go through the year could we expect from that, both the cost and also the mix from the new capacity? Thank you.
Thank you, James. I pass that question immediately to Fredrik.
Thank you, Arne. Now, as we said in the report, we are starting the ramp up in Brazil. We have made some deliveries out of Brazil in the quarter, and then we will start to see more volumes coming out in Q2, and then step by step increase the volumes. And then China is on plan, and that will be late in 2016. So there will still be some more costs to come during the coming quarters.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, James.
The next question comes from the line of Heidi Vesterinen. Please ask your question.
Hi, I have a few. So you stated that bakery was a challenging market. Could you update us on the CSM business, please? Second question on infant. We saw some changes announced in China recently, trying to clamp down on the gray market. What impact do you expect from this? And last question, I saw recently that one of your competitors, IOI, they lost some customer contracts as they seem to have lost their palm oil certification. Does this have any impact on the industry and, you know, where you're part of the industry? And do you know if this is to do with commodities or specialties, please? Thank you.
Hello, Heidi. So first, CSM, we are developing according to plan on CSM, no doubt. But when I asked for a green light from Fredrik if I should disclose outside capital market days the minus 7% on bakery and double digit on infant and DFA and so forth, Fredrik, he just laughed a little bit and said, you will get questions. So here it came. So I have prepared my answer, as a matter of fact. And I say, even if AAK, and this is arrogant, this is not humble, but Frederick pushes me, even if AAK will win the World Cup, that will not be in soccer. There will not be 11 AAK persons in the world team. You know, they always select the world team afterwards. So bakery is not one of our strongest disciplines in general. It is scattered. There is less globality over the product than in some other segments. It is not our strongest discipline. So if there is one of the 11 AAK players who will not be selected to the world team after our World Cup victory, it's definitely bakery. So, but CCM is developing exactly as our acquisition business plan. Infant and China doing nicely. And again, please don't put this in your models, but the nativity numbers in China in January and February were up 20%. So as a result of the modified one-child policy. IUI suspended, here we talk about the competitor right and the RSPO suspension. I think RSPO is gaining further credibility every year, the last few years. I think it would be highly inappropriate if I comment on the IOI situation as it's a competitor. But we are, in general, very happy that there is more and more focus on the CSR chapter, and we try to be the good guys on the block, 100% traceable to meal already, and we believe we successfully turn our CSR profile into a commercial competitive advantage. That is what I want to comment on that. The rest you need to look on internet and Google IOI and RSPO and so forth. You will not get any comments from AAK on that. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star 1 if you wish to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Stefan Cederberg. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good morning, Arne and Fredrik. Question on your comment on the productivity improvement. Is this achieved in the what companies you have acquired in the last 2 years, or is it in general? And also, what is the improvement rate in the acquired companies?
Hi, Stefan. Again, a scattered picture. It is in productivity improvements in some of the acquired companies, those who were more like turnaround candidates. We just had a question on CSM, so that would be one of them. Other of the acquisitions are more growth projects. And then a chunk of it is also the big transfer we had from Aarhus to Karlshamn and the productivity hence in both Aarhus and Karlshamn. That has been successful. But maybe some of it took slightly longer than we expected. So there is a slice of that also. How much which is which is a little bit difficult to measure.
And can you say something about the rate of productivity improvement? I know that you have commented on those rates before.
No, the numbers we said some years back about 300 million Swedish krona over a few years, etc., they are, for the existing business, they are probably spot on. Then we have reinvested a material part of that into go-to-market organizations in growth markets, sales and customer co-development. And then there are some small step-by-step improvements in
particularly CSM and to a lesser degree in Louisville, United States.
Okay. And on the P&L, I see that it's a big minority impact in the quarter. Is that related to infant nutrition?
I pass that question to Fredrik.
You have a minority both in the joint venture you have with the Advanced Lipids joint venture, but also there is a minority in Kamani.
And what is the big impact in the quarter?
It's, as Arne said, India has been a little bit better than we expected.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stefan.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. We have no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for attending. Thank you for listening. And thank you for all your questions. Hereby conclude this con call is over, and we hope to see as many as possible of all of you in Malmö here in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much, and have a continued very good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.